In the 19th century, vellum stationery and wax seals were important tools of statecraft. The 20th century brought cables, telegrams, even radio. Today, the State Department is adding all sorts of digital tools in what it calls 21st century statecraft. State is in the midst of a month-long celebration of 21st century statecraft. And joining us to explain what it's all about is Victoria Esser, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs. Ms. Esser, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so tell us what State Department means by that term, 21st century statecraft.
Sure. Well, 21st century statecraft is a fancy way of saying that the department is using technology, digital networks, and innovation to advance America's interests around the world. And Secretary Clinton's made it a key part of our foreign policy agenda. I think you said it just right at the top. You know, foreign policy is no longer just conducted at summits or in embassy reception rooms. And so at State and USAID, we're adopting new approaches to meet diplomatic and development challenges around the world.
Now, let me make a distinction, or you can explain this for me. I mean, in many ways, diplomats communicate with each other, and there's official communication, say we're having an argument with a country or are we negotiating. But you're talking about communicating maybe with larger populations this way to advance American interests on a more general level.
Yeah, if you'd like to talk specifically about social media, and I'll give you an example of some of the things that we're doing this month. You know, technology and social media has enabled citizens around the world to have a more direct and real-time voice in the policy conversation, both with government officials and with each other. And so to celebrate 21st Century Statecraft Month, we're basically highlighting the many ways both we here in Washington and our embassies around the world are using social and digital media to inform and engage people around, both in the United States and around the world, on the foreign policy issues that matter most to them. So we're taking advantage of social media to bring people virtually into the State Department briefing room so that they get to ask the foreign policy questions that are on their mind. Spokesperson Victoria Nuland is taking questions from our 10 official Twitter feeds, which are in 10 different languages, and she's answering them at the podium every Friday, and people can ask them their questions using the hashtag AskState.
And you guys are doing a number of activities during this, what you've designated as 21st Century Statecraft Month. How much of this will be enduring throughout the department's mission beyond this month, and how much of this is sort of a one-off?
Well, like I said, every day here and everywhere around the world, our embassies are taking advantage of the power of social media to be able to connect with people in countries around the world and let them know what the United States perspective is on foreign policy issues related to their countries, and also importantly, to hear from them, to hear what's on the minds of everyday citizens. And so that is certainly going to continue, and we have a strong commitment to that. For things like taking questions from the podium, from Twitter, that's one example of, you know, we're not wedded to the format, but we're wedded to the commitment of making sure that we're looking for new ways to connect with people around the world.
We're speaking with Victoria Esser, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs for Digital Strategy at the State Department. And when you accept questions and input from these various social media platforms, do you get questions from places like, I don't know, Iran, perhaps, or Afghanistan, as well as, you know, France and Japan and so on?
Well, we have 10 different language feeds. English, Arabic, Chinese, Hindi, Urdu, Farsi. So we're getting questions from all around the world. Last week, you know, we've been really pleased by the response. We had questions coming in on our Arabic feed about what's happening in Syria. We had a question coming out of China related to human rights. So we're really seeing a broad spectrum of what people are interested in hearing from the State Department about.
And given the censorship that happens in some of those countries, then those people are taking a little bit of a risk. So that should be flattering to the State Department. They would take that risk to ask you a question directly.
Well, those people are choosing to engage on social media with or without the State Department. You know, we it's a sort of opt-in mechanism. In the instance of China, Twitter is blocked in China, but there is a local equivalent of China called Sina, which is where we're getting questions in from people. So we're adapting to what the local environment is in terms of the way that we reach people.
This is going to sound like a naive question from someone who doesn't know a whole lot about statecraft, but is there a tension in taking diplomatic relations directly to populations? I mean, is there a threat that some of the countries that we have traditional diplomatic relations with feel that we're going around them, if that makes sense?
I think that, you know, nothing is going to replace our traditional diplomacy. We see this as an add-on and a new way to directly engage with people. And we see that as a benefit. You know, it's a voice that local citizens can have with the United States and local citizens can have with their own governments as well.
So getting back to 21st Century Statecraft Month, of course, State Department employees already know what's going on and are using it. So who is your audience for the month itself?
Well, the audience is the world. And we've got, you know, in the past week, for example, we had our U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince in Haiti held a Twitter Q&A via its embassy Twitter feed to discuss the ongoing partnership with the people of Haiti 2 years after the earthquake. We had our U.S. mission to international organizations in Vienna held a virtual town hall about nuclear nonproliferation. So it's a casting a very wide net and reaching people on a broad spectrum of foreign policy issues that matter the most to them.
Now, a lot of federal agencies have worked very hard and very long on trying to establish sane and rational and useful policies for use of social media. What's the State Department's process for deciding who can be the users of these platforms and what the policies are governing how they're used?
As I said, Secretary Clinton has been very vocal and very strong with the department that she wants the use of technology and innovation to be a key part of the way that we conduct our foreign policy. And so everyone, you know, from the most junior foreign service officer to our most senior ambassador is encouraged to adopt and use these social media tools. I'll give you a great example. Ambassador Ray, who is our ambassador in Zimbabwe, is about 65, and he's been in the Foreign Service for about almost 50 years. And he is on Facebook every day because that's how you reach the young people in Zimbabwe. It's not through the mainstream media. They're on social media. And so he's conducting chats on Facebook every day. And so it just goes to show you it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been at the game. You can, you know, you can certainly adapt and use these tools.
But it's safe to say Secretary Clinton and, say, Ahmadinejad are not Facebook friends at this point.
I don't think so.
Right. Well, Victoria Esser is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs for Digital Strategy at the State Department. We thank you very much for joining us, and good luck with 21st Century Statecraft Month.
Great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.